Good morning, Elias.
And what shall we discuss?
Well, let's start with the fun bit. Since we visited last, Brenda and I have brought two male golden retrievers into our lives, puppies.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It was kind of a quick jump into it, and they're really delightful. We were curious about what role or what why we brought them into our lives at Goddess Acres at this time.
And express to myself why.
It seems like definitely an element of fun and playfulness. I also think it's been a way to kind of pull together the complementary nature of Brenda and I being here. It's kind of brought our little community together and needing to cooperate and caring for them, including, you know, the guys, Robert and Odie. And I don't know, we both have a sense that they're really a part of Reaveresco. They have this amazingly gentle, soulful energy that's sort of the flip side of their very, very vibrant, playful energy.
And youth.
And youth, yes. Oh, yes. The exuberance of youth. Yes.
And I would express that timing-wise, that is a significant piece, reminding you about that youth.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and it's...
Are both very interested and determined in relation to this direction of regeneration, but I would also express that at times you become so caught in the methods and the details and the aspect of reversing age that you are still concentrating on age.
Huh.
And in that, I would express that they are an excellent reminder to you of youth and playfulness and energy and not being concerned with age.
Very good. That was very clever of us.
I would agree.
We'll keep that in mind when we're cleaning up the knocked over plans or the chewed up furniture leg. Very, very good. I think I'll move into, this is probably me being too serious kind of question. Brenda and I do want to talk about Reaveresco and how it links with some of the information you've been giving recently. But I wanted to talk about an issue that I have. I think it's ongoing and you're probably quite aware of it. But I find myself consistently, not all the time, but consistently in this place of concern and trying to figure things out in terms of my path. And I can just be in the moment. Yesterday, sitting outside in the Adirondack chairs Odie had made for me, just wonderful afternoon and day, And instead of being able to stay in the moment, my brain gets so caught up in trying to figure out how I hold on to this and how I merge. All of these, there are just so many facets of life. It feels like I'm going to be forced into making a decision. And I cannot get myself to stay in a place in which I could have just this peace of mind, get off of the hamster wheel, and just have a place of clarity. And I know it's not beneficial to me. I know it's counterproductive to creating what I want to create, but it just feels like there's so many fears and responsibilities and things I want, you know, my passions and my curiosity, that I cannot figure out how to weave it all together, or how just to leave it the fuck alone and live my life in the meantime.
And this is a process, and it requires practice. And let me remind you, first of all, that change in significant manners is generally difficult for what is familiar is automatic, and what is new isn't, and therefore you have to intentionally do it. You have to intentionally do what is new, whereas with what is familiar, you automatically do it, which includes thinking, or more to the point, attention, and what you are paying attention to, and how you are paying attention. In this, changing what and how you pay attention is new and not automatic yet, and therefore it is difficult, and it requires you to objectively, intentionally be actively doing it rather than automatically doing it. Now, I also understand the point that you are expressing in relation to that automatic familiar, and how do you move out of that once you are already in it? And the answer is the same. It is that you must intentionally, objectively change what you are paying attention to. And at times, that may mean changing what you are paying attention to every 4 to 5 seconds. It may mean that you notice you are being carried away in your thinking in all of these other directions and repeat thinking, and you intentionally stop, and 30 to 45 seconds later, you are doing it again. And you must change what you are paying attention to. You must say to yourself, no, and stop it again. And then 45 seconds later, you might have to do it again. But in each time framework, Let me express to you. Let's express a scenario as an actual experience. You are outside sitting and enjoying the day, and you start thinking, 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 and you can feel yourself becoming agitated or tense, and you stop and you move your attention in a different direction, and let us say 45 seconds later, you begin thinking again. And you stop again, and 30 seconds later, you're thinking again. Now, in that scenario, let me express to you in a very realistic manner, by the third or fourth time that you do that, it will actually begin to stop. You will actually begin to express that ability to move your attention in a different direction, and that automatic rethinking will not continue to occur. Now, for a time framework, that may happen each time, in which you may have to readjust your attention 3 or 4 or 5 times within the first few minutes. But each time it happens, by the third or fourth time that you readjust your attention, that automatic action will stop. You are giving a message to your body consciousness, no, stop it, I won't engage this. And the body consciousness, obviously, in a manner of speaking, figuratively, fights with you, for it automatically moves in the direction of what is familiar, but it will stop. But it does require intentional action and repetition, and in that being consistent. Now, let me also express to you that factor of what I was speaking of in our recent group discussion in relation to healing. For healing has many, many, many aspects of it. And if we return to that statement that was offered about the definition of healing.
Right.
And my statement in response to the definition of healing, the definition being returning to a natural state. And my response to that being the consideration of what the natural state is. Meaning, what is the natural state now? What the natural state was at any other given previous time may not be what the natural state is now. That is a significant point, because most of you incorporate this idea in relation to healing, whether it be physical healing or whether it be healing in relation to not repeat thinking. It is a matter of considering and evaluating what is your natural state now, for it is different from what it was at any given point previously in your life. In this, because you change, and you are always changing, your natural state today is not the same as it was when you were 20, or when you were 30, or when you were born, or even last year. Your natural state is different now. And when you don't consider that factor, then in a manner of speaking, you move at odds with yourself in relation to that factor of healing. For then your perception is moving in the direction of that definition of returning to the natural state with the idea that your natural state is whatever the design or function of any particular aspect of you that it was designed to be. But that does not allow for growth or evolving or developing. Let me express to you in this manner. Let me give you a physical example. And this applies to everything, not merely physical manifestations, but how you move, how you express, what you do, what you think, what you feel, all of it. But let me offer a physical example. Most of you that were born into this reality prior to 20 to 25 years ago were born with a particular type of physiology, which includes an appendix. Now, the appendix is an organ. It is, or has been, for approximately 180 to 200 years. For most of you throughout your world, a non-functioning organ, which is also the reason that many individuals born into this reality between 20 and 25 years prior to now are being born without that organ. Because it is a non-functioning organ. But it is an excellent example because generally most of you don't think about that. and don't generate an association with that organ as being a non-functioning organ, you generate an association that it is an organ in your body, and therefore, even if you do not know what it does, it must have a purpose. It must be doing something because it is in your physiology. Now, if you are thinking about healing and you are thinking about healing in the direction of returning to the natural state, which is the standard of returning something to its original design and function, you as an individual born into this reality within this past 200 years have been born into this reality with that organ physically in your physiology, and for you its natural state is non-functioning, but that is not the association of the definition. The association of the definition is to return something to its original design and function. The appendix has an original design and function, or had. Originally, its design and function was very active. It was an addition to your intestinal tract that was designed to break down materials that would be consumed that your digestive system was unable to break down. Therefore, many elements that were consumed by humans pass through this particular organ to be broken down into waste matter and then continuing on through the intestines to be eliminated. It was, in a manner of speaking, an in-between organ. You have not used that organ for approximately almost 200 years. None of you. Throughout your planet. Therefore, its function has changed. Its natural state has changed. It doesn't perform a function any longer. Its natural state is to be dormant. In actuality, the reason that individuals incorporate difficulty with this organ and generally will develop some manifestations such as an appendicitis, and many individuals have this organ removed, is that it, in a manner of speaking, and we both know that this would not be literal, but surfacely, the explanation would be that it inadvertently begins to function. It is not supposed to function. And if it begins to function, it interferes with the natural movement of your digestive system. And what your digestive system does is it reacts to that organ beginning to function, and what your digestive system does is it flushes material towards that organ. What your body is doing is attempting to push away that organ and stop it from functioning. And that generally creates a type of infection, and it creates more of a dysfunction, and generally you will have that organ removed. But if you were thinking in the direction of returning it to its natural state, you would likely create more of a dysfunction in your body consciousness, and could even lead yourself into death. Because its natural state now is to not function. Now that is one very physical example. But in this, it applies to everything in your life. For in that, your natural state today is different than it was even 1 year prior.
So in the context of what I've been experiencing, I think where I get confused, like applying this and identifying the natural state now, not in the physiological sense, but in this issue, is I get confused between this notion of intentionally and consciously creating my reality. And that's part of, I think, what feeds this cyclical thinking, is because I in my process, I think, well, okay, so in order to be intentional and consciously creating, I should be aware of what my choices are, and I should be aware of what's natural to me and what's beneficial to me, what's important to me. And I think that's part of the loop I get caught in, because I have so much information, like, you know, it's important that my mom not be alone dealing with my dad. It's important to be at Goddess Acres, and I like not having responsibility, and I like having abundance, and yet I want to pursue this and that. And so I can't even get to a place in which I might be able to identify what my natural state now is. Because it
now, listen to how you are speaking. And later, I will encourage you to listen to this conversation again.
Okay.
And listen to yourself and how you are speaking. Because this is an example of what I am expressing to you in not only what you are paying attention to, but how you are paying attention to it, which is evidenced at this point now in how you are speaking. You are speaking in a manner about intentionally creating as if it were an action that you are not yet doing. As if it were an action that you are learning how to do and you are not quite doing it yet, but you are considering it and you are attempting to discover, or in your terms, figure out how to do it. Now let me offer you another example. You are intentionally creating every day and generating choices every day, and in that you may not know all of the components yet, but you are doing it. A very clear or obvious example of that is your new companions. You have two new companions, which you intentionally chose. Now, whether you chose them after months and months and months of deliberation and research and concentration and questions and attempting to decipher every aspect of them and every aspect of what you were doing and why, or whether you expressed an impulse and considered the impulse and 1 week later chose to engage a treasure hunt and find them and not know necessarily why you are acquiring them other than you want them, or other than you are prompting yourself to, or that you interpret a feeling about it, whether or not you know what the implications of that direction are or not, or what that holds in the future, it matters not. You are aware of what you are doing, and you are intentionally choosing to move in that direction, to find these dogs, and to acquire them. And you did. And that is an example of intentionally creating. You were not unaware of what you were doing. You may not have incorporated objectively, thinking-wise, all of the pieces or all of the information, about this choice, but you're aware of the choice. And you did it. And this is only one choice. You do this every day. Every day, you generate objective, intentional choices and are creating intentionally every day. And not always including every aspect of information that you can possibly have in relation to what those choices are. What is different is with these choices, it is not as much that you don't have all the information and therefore you don't know what to do. That is not actually the base point of the difficulty or the problem with these choices. The difficulty with these choices is that there are opposing factors. There is what you want to do and what you think you should do. There is what is important to you and what should be important to you. There is the division between what you think of as practical and responsible and fanciful or wishful thinking. And you place the pieces that you want in the category that isn't the responsible category. Therefore, enters in the conflict, and in that, what the struggle is not the idea of intentionally creating. The struggle is that fight, that battle that is occurring within you, that you are attempting to, in some desperate manner, reconcile for yourself. The responsible versus the irresponsible. The want versus the need.
Yes, that sounds right.
In that, what the struggle is determining which is more important. Not actually how to intentionally be creating your reality. You have enough information and enough practice and you are aware enough, you are, to a considerable extent, a tremendous extent, intentionally creating your reality.
So,
until you are intentionally not, meaning until you are in those positions in which you are fighting with yourself, and then rather than intentionally choosing, you are allowing actions to merely happen in your perception.
So how do I address the conflict and understand which is most important to me? Because it seems like there's such a pull in opposing directions. And I guess in my mind, I keep thinking there'll be some kind of deus ex machina in which, you know, like the lottery, in which I can be both responsible and do what I want to do.
Even in that, listen to what you said. Be responsible and do what I want to do.
Yes.
There's the separation again. That what you want is not responsible. It is designated different.
Right.
There, what is responsible, and then there is what you want. And if it does not fall into the category of being responsible, then what is it? It is irresponsible. And that generates the conflict, that separation. Now, how do you determine what is more important? The first piece is very much associated with that subject of healing in relation to the acknowledgement of what your natural state is at the time, which that is the difficult piece for most individuals, for that is the piece that you don't want to acknowledge, that you don't want to express, because it may not be what you optimally want in yourself. It may not be your optimal perception of yourself, or what you want your perception of yourself to be. But it is a matter of recognizing what is your state of being at any given time framework. This is the reason that I express so frequently to so many individuals that factor about timing and whether an individual is ready for a certain action or a certain direction. Because what I am expressing in that is an acknowledgement of what their state is at this time. What you are doing is fighting with yourself about the subject of being responsible and considering that the directions that you want are less important because they are not responsible. Therefore, how do you move in a direction in weighing what is important to you and also not denying what you want. First piece is to stop separating those two factors and categorizing one direction as being responsible and the other as not. How is it irresponsible to express what you want or to be moving in the direction of you first? When you are considering you first and what is to your greatest benefit, now listen to what I am saying. When you are considering you first and what is to your greatest benefit, how will that lead you in an irresponsible direction? How will that lead you in a direction of harm? Harm and your greatest benefit are not in harmony with each other. In this, if you are acknowledging that this factor of responsibility is important to you, whether you want it to be or not, and in some capacities you do, and in some capacities you don't. But that is irrelevant. Whether you want it to be or not, it is a matter of acknowledging what is. Therefore, acknowledging what your natural state is at the time. In that, what your natural state has developed into is an expression of being responsible. That is not necessarily bad. Just as if I were to be speaking with some individual that creates an exceptional amount of drama in their life. That may be what their natural expression is at the time. But the word drama creates an adverse response within most of you. The word is not good or bad. In actuality, the action is not good or bad. It's a matter of whether it is actually accomplishing what you want it to accomplish or not. Responsibility is another one of those words that in some capacities it holds positive connotation in others, you automatically incorporate an adverse response to it. So, responsibility, I am being responsible, I'm being ruled by responsibility. You almost equate that with a lack of freedom, which is untrue.
So if responsibility is in this moment or in this now is part of my natural state, am I interpreting that narrowly?
Yes. Now, that is the key. Or in that, remember what I have expressed over and over and over again. You are redefining terms and therefore redefining your reality. It is not that responsibility is bad or to be fought with. It is that your interpretation of responsibility is somewhat distorted. For your expression of responsibility. In this, what I would express to you is it is a matter of recognizing that that responsibility is to yourself.
Let's see, you told me that in October 2009, I believe.
I would express to you, it is a matter of genuinely recognizing that, yes, responsibility for you is a natural state, a natural expression. But it has moved into an askewed direction in which you are equating responsibility with money, with actions, with your parents, with university, with students, with other individuals, with your sister, everything outside of you. And all of these subjects that are so important to you that you have so much conflict with and that you are so confused about and do not know what to do in relation to all of these subjects, for they all seem to be conflicting with each other and with you, and in actuality, all of it rests in the expression of responsibility being expressed with you. You being responsible for you, which means you placing yourself in that primary position. You first, everything else second. You first. And when you are being responsible to you, you are aware of moving in directions that are to your greatest benefit. And if you are moving in directions that are to your greatest benefit, you will not move in directions of being irresponsible or harmful in relation to all of these other subjects, for they automatically, as a natural byproduct, will benefit from that responsibility also.
Yeah, I think that's where I have a difficult time in trusting that I can hear it intellectually, I can understand the concepts, but I don't know.
This is the reason that I repeatedly express the encouragement to you to practice in increments, to give yourself the experience, for I am very aware that that is the piece that is lacking.
Yeah.
You can accept in concept, you can hear it and understand it conceptually, but until you give yourself the experience, the conflict continues to ensue.
Right.
Because of what? Fear.
Right.
You're afraid of what might happen. Fear and consequence.
Exactly. Even in hearing you say, well, you know, that's why you do it incrementally. And it's like, well, What if I think I'm getting it incrementally and I'm really not? And it's just that automatic moving into fear and consequences that is so ingrained.
And that is why I used the example of the dogs.
Yeah.
You don't have to objectively have all the pieces.
Yeah.
You will give yourself the answers as you move forward, for the answers lie in the experiences, not in concept. Therefore, that it is a matter of recognizing you already are intentionally creating, for the most part. How many actions do you do in a day that you would consider to be utterly and completely mindless?
For me, not very many.
Precisely. Or accidental.
Yeah.
Not many.
No.
That is what I am expressing to you. You are already intentionally creating. You have expanded. You do incorporate that self-awareness. You are applying it. You are using it. You are doing it. You are aware. That is not the problem.
Right. Yeah, I understand the distinction and the conflict in the conflict.
Keep reminding yourself, which should not be considerably difficult, since now you have an actual physical active reminder in front of you. Keep reminding yourself about those dogs.
Yeah.
That they are an example to you.
Right. And I think if we thought it... Go ahead.
Not only of intentionally choosing and intentionally creating your reality, but they are also an example to you of placing yourself in that primary position for a choice.
Right. Exactly. Yes, and a nice reminder to have fun and not be so serious all the time as well.
Precisely. I would agree.
All right, well, this helps. It helps tremendously, and it's nice to have the new framing, and looking forward to playing with it and applying it.
Excellent. And I shall be expressing my supportiveness and my encouragement every moment with you.
Thank you. I feel it many times and appreciate it very much.
Perhaps you may notice my energy with those new additions to your family.
I think so. They both have been delighted with playing with butterflies and just being inherently playful. So Brenda had mentioned that she thought they both had Elias energy in them. Well, so thank you. We shall be looking for it and enjoying it.
Excellent. And I shall be offering my affection and lovingness to you in dear friendship, as always. To you, my dear friend. Au revoir.
Thank you. Appreciate you very much. Bye-bye.